Hi, and welcome to St. Mark's Online. Pray that you're having a good Easter season. We are in the sixth Sunday of Easter today, and we're going to continue celebrating that life that we're given by God, and we're going to celebrate the fact that now we can live in that life. We can now obey our Lord's commands, especially that greatest commandment that we've been given. Love one another, Jesus says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And we'll see today that we are not alone as we do that. Our opening hymn helps us praise God for the life that he's given us. It's "Praise the Almighty, my soul, adore him," verses 1, 2, and 4, Christian worship number 235. God's blessings on your worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you. In my thoughts, words, and actions, I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us, and he's given his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We ask for God's continued mercy in our lives. For all that we need in life, and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil,
Hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care.
Amen.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. Pray. Father of lights, every good and perfect gift comes from you. Inspire us to think those things that are true and long for those things that are good, that we may always make our petitions according to your gracious will. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We go to the Word of God this morning, first to Genesis chapter 4, where if we're given the command to love each other, this is a good example of what not to do. In Genesis 4, we find out about Cain, and instead of love, the hatred that he had. But notice God's love throughout. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, and Abel also brought an offering, fat portions, from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. The word of the Lord. With our psalm of the day, Psalm 66, we marvel at the work of God bringing us from death to life and how we can shout to joy for it.
Thank you.
The second lesson for this morning comes from 1 John chapter 3. Right before this section, John talks about Cain and how bad of a thing that was, obviously, but then contrasts him with Jesus, and then also how we are to live. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. The word of the Lord. The verse of the day from John 14 gives us a great promise that comes with obedience to the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, alleluia. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Alleluia. The gospel for today comes from John chapter 14, where we hear Jesus tell us that as we live to obey him, we're not alone. We have a counselor, and we also have unity with someone else. From John 14. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. The Gospel of the Lord. We respond with the hymn of the day, selected verses from Dear Christians, One and All, Rejoice.
Thank you.
Grace and peace are yours, and the life that comes with that message is yours as well. Dear brothers and sisters, amen. The sermon text for today comes from the second lesson from 1 John chapter 3. If you'd like to follow along, let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your life. Amen. The heart is an amazing thing. Did you know that the heart beats 100,000 times a day? 100,000 times with regularity. Did you know, I'm guessing you did, that you can feel the heart at work by checking your pulse? Go ahead and give it a try. It's right here. If you look right by your wrist, at the edge of your wrist, between that and your flexor tendon, there's the radial artery. Go ahead and check your pulse. You feel the beat? Another spot is up here, your carotid artery by your windpipe. You feel that one too? Hopefully you can. But if you can't, don't worry. I'm guessing it's there. If you're listening to this, I'm guessing you have a pulse. We can check our pulse to make sure that we have a healthy heart rate. We can also check our pulse or check someone else's pulse when we don't see signs of life. Now, they tell you don't try checking any more than 10 seconds because you don't want to delay CPR. But if you're not seeing signs of life, that's when you would check your pulse. Same goes for us spiritually. This Easter season, we celebrate one big truth, life. And we don't just celebrate the physical life that we have someday on the resurrection from the dead. No, we celebrate the life that we have now, spiritual, eternal life is ours right now. And we want to live in it. We want to honor our Lord with it. We want to thank Him for everything that He's done. But sometimes we can see that we don't have some signs of spiritual life. And we might not even realize it. So with John's help today, we're going to take a look at what is the sign of spiritual life. But then also we're going to see, therefore, times when you want to check your spiritual pulse. If blood flowing through the vessels beating through is the pulse of physical life, what is the pulse of spiritual life? Well, John says it. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Love is the mark of spiritual life. If your heart beats spiritually, your heart beats with the pulse of love. Christians love. We have compassion. We see someone hurting, our heart aches. We see someone in need, we want to help them, preserve them, save their life. Even if that person hates us, they hate God, they curse us because of it, we still love them. We want what's best for them. That's what love is. It beats with the heart of spiritual life. But we know that we didn't get this love on our own. We know that it was given to us. Our spiritual hearts were dead, just like the rest. That's what John implies here. Did you catch it? Don't be surprised if the world hates you. That's its natural position. It hates God and it hates those associated with God. And anyone who does not love remains in death. The implication is that all people by nature are spiritually dead until they're brought to life. Yet we know we have passed from death to life because we love each other. That which is dead does not show signs of life. And yet here we are, Christians, showing love. Love for God, love for Christ and what He's done, love for others. If our hearts beat with spiritual life, they beat with the pulse of love. But what if we notice something else in our heart? What if instead of love we notice hatred? Hatred is the opposite of love. It desires the opposite of love. It does the opposite of love. And the end result for that person is the opposite of love. In fact, John says, anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. Hate, in essence, desires the same thing. It is the same thing as murder. Hate, instead of good for someone, wants evil for them. Instead of protecting, preserving, saving someone's life, it wants some sort of detriment to their life, maybe even an end to it. If love is the mark of spiritual life, hatred is the mark of spiritual death. And if you want an example of that, you can just look at Cain. We saw it in our first lesson. John makes mention of it right before this section. Cain let his jealousy turn to resentment, turn to hatred. And that emotional murder came pouring out into physical murder. And God tried to warn him of it. Tried to say, hatred, this sin is waiting to capture you. It's waiting to have its way with your heart, but you have to turn from it. Yet Cain didn't, because he was spiritually dead. So if God is there confronting you right now, if you know that there is some sort of hatred in your heart, hatred toward someone close to you in your life, maybe someone in the past that's done something to you, or maybe even somebody you've never met, be careful. Because hatred is a mark of spiritual death. As John said, hatred is murder, and no murderer has eternal life residing in him. So you better check your spiritual pulse if you have hatred. But we don't just look within. Now, love isn't just some feeling within. It's so much more than that. And if love is a mark of spiritual life, then we want to know what love really, truly, fully is then. So what is it really? Well, John says that next. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. That's love. Love wasn't just some feeling, some compassion in Jesus, but he let that compassion pour out into action. Love results in action. That's what true love really is. And Jesus is the ultimate example of that true love because he paid the ultimate price. What is the most valuable thing anybody in this life could possibly have? It's life. Life cannot be replaced. And yet Jesus here poured out his life for our sake. He wanted to protect our life, so he gave his. That's true love in action. And if that's how our Savior loved, then we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If Jesus did it, we want to walk to the beat of his spiritual heart as well. We want to do what he did. And the greatest thing we can do is to give our lives for our brothers and sisters. Now, I'm guessing you don't have too many opportunities each day to give up your physical life breath to save someone else's life. But that's okay, we still have lots of different smaller examples that can still fulfill the essence of that idea. John gives one. It says, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need. So Christians want to live in this spiritual life, they want to give their life for someone else. Well, if they can't give their physical life breath, they can give the thing that sustains that life breath. We can give to those in need. It's in essence the same idea. So we give to those who need it. We have a food drive coming next week. We have a Christian assistance fund here at the church. Lots of opportunities out there with charities that you can help. Especially now, we have opportunities to show this love that we have with what's going on in the world. And if because of what's going on in the world, you don't have this material stuff in excess, then we can give our time. That's what Christians do too. We can volunteer. We can give our skills and talents for others. We have so many opportunities to let this compassion that God has put within us to pour out into love. And we want to do it. That's the amazing thing. We desire to do this. There's a joy that our Savior had in saving us, laying down his life. There's a joy that we get to have too. It's a mark of spiritual life, and it is life to the full, obeying Jesus' commands. But does this ever happen to you? Hopefully you can see this comic. There we go. Hopefully you can see this comic. Saw this one time and I wanted to save it. It says, "Hey Rat, it's me, Goat. Listen, my car broke down and I'm standing in the middle of nowhere. Can you help me?" His friend Rat says, "Sure, I'm sending you thoughts and prayers." And he says to his other friend, "It's so much easier than getting up." Do you ever do that? You ever say those Christian phrases? "I'm sending you thoughts and prayers." But then you don't do anything. You know, sometimes we say these things just to make ourselves feel better, like we are doing something, and yet we end up not doing anything at all. We might even forget to pray. That's not love in action. That's empty love. It's not really showing the love of Christ, is it? And if you notice there's some of that in your life, well, check your spiritual pulse. Because that is not a sign of spiritual life. That is a sign of spiritual death. As John says, "If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person?" Literally, it's if one sees a brother in need, but closes off compassion, closes off their heart, how can the love of God be in that person? So you and I can see opportunities, and we have this compassion maybe well up inside of us, but then we slam the door on that compassion. We don't let it pour out in action. And if we do that, we have to be careful. Because again, John tells us the truth of the matter. How can the love of God be in that person? So, dear brothers and sisters, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. If we hold to the truth of Scripture, let's live by the truth of Scripture. If our Savior truly died for us, laid down his life, and he did, we know he did, then let's do the same for others. Let's walk in the same steps as our Savior, because if not, then we better check our spiritual hearts. Now, as I say all of this, you might be thinking to yourself, "Oh no, I have had hatred in my heart. I have been inactive in my love when it comes to my spouse, my children sometimes, my friend, my church brothers and sisters." And when you feel that, you're going to have some sort of reaction to it. Maybe your reaction is going to be, "Well, let's see, if I feel my pulse, it's pretty weak or non-existent. Nah, I'm fine. There's no real threat there." But that sounds more like something Cain would say, isn't it? And Cain didn't have spiritual life. Besides, you don't want to delay physical CPR. You also don't want to delay spiritual CPR either, if you need it. Or you might react in a different way. You might think to yourself, "Oh no, my pulse is weak or maybe non-existent. All right, then I got to do a bunch of good things. I got to show my love. That way I can prove, all right, there's my spiritual pulse. I have spiritual life." But is that really love? Where's the focus? On yourself. That's selfishness. That's an empty love. That's a false sign of life. Besides, we can't manufacture our own love. A heart doesn't tell itself to beat. Love is a mark of spiritual life. It's not the source. So, brothers and sisters, this gives us another reason to check our spiritual pulse and check it often. Because that's when we're reminded, not of our love, but of God's love. Just the fact that we have a spiritual pulse at all. And when our consciences hit us with the thought of, oh no, I'm showing signs of spiritual death, and we think, oh no, does that mean I don't have anything? We remember what John says next. John says in verse 19 and 20 this, "This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts." When our hearts don't spiritually beat as they should, God is greater than that. He's greater than our sin. When our hearts then turn around and condemn us with our conscience telling us that we've done something wrong, well, God is greater than that too. That's why I don't think what John says in the middle of all of this is a coincidence. As John is encouraging his brothers and sisters to love, he talks about Jesus giving His life for us. It's not just the ultimate example, it's because Jesus is the source of life. If you want an infusion of life, if you want your heart to beat spiritually, then you have to be refreshed in exactly what Christ has done for you. He physically poured out His lifeblood to wash away every moment of hatred and every moment of inaction. His heart, when it beat its last, won our freedom from spiritual death and any kind of death forever. And when God, with the power that He had, rose that physical heart back to life, He has connected you to that same exact power. Now it's living in you. Now you know, I can love my brother or sister like Christ loved me. Your heart is beating with the same pulse of Christ. So check your spiritual pulse often, because it's a reminder of God's power for you. Not just of what He's done to bring it from death to life, but also of His love and grace for you. He chose to give you that life. Check your spiritual pulse, brothers and sisters. Check it to see if there's any sort of deficiency, inward, outward, so that you can correct it and treat it. But don't just check it for that. Check it because, as John points out, it's evidence that God has brought you from death to life. Check your spiritual pulse because it shows His grace in Christ. The heart is an amazing thing, especially the heart made new by God. Blessings as you walk to the beat of your Savior's pulse. Amen. Now may the grace of God continue to provide you with the pulse of spiritual life. Amen. We confess our faith now in what Christ has done according to the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
At this time, while we're not able to gather our offerings, we still thank you for sending them in, either mailing your check into the office here at church or by going online under the Resources tab and under the Giving page. Thank you for that. We continue with the prayer of the church. We pray. O Lord God, we thank you for the wondrous gift of Jesus Christ, your Son, and for the promised graces we have received through him. We thank you that through his perfect life and his obedience to death on the cross, we have been granted cleansing and pardon for all our sins. We thank you that in his resurrection we have the promise of life everlasting, and that in his ascension to the right hand of your majesty we have the assurance that he continually intercedes for us.
Help us believe and trust in him, love and serve him, that in all our thoughts, words, and actions we may manifest his Spirit. Rebuke our selfishness and subdue our self-indulgence. Deepen our sympathies, strengthen our hope, and confirm us in our faith.
Dwell in our homes, O Lord, and let the trust of our families be centered in you alone, so that no difficulty, trial, or adversity rob us of the conviction that you are our helper in every time of need. Relieve the afflictions of the weary and the sick, and dry the tears of the troubled and sorrowful. Lead them to look to you as the unfailing spring of healing and hope. Lord, we thank you on behalf of those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries this week. Continue to shower them with your blessings and give them many more years to serve you. We ask for your continued care, especially over Vicki Underwood, Jerry Stewart, and Bobby Hall. Guide them and their doctors, bless their health, comfort them with your power, and sustain them with the knowledge that you will never leave them nor forsake them. We also come to you with joy and thanksgiving for the birth of David and Jen Klinker's daughter, Taylor. Continue to keep mom and baby safe, and continue to bless and guide Taylor with your gracious hand all the days of her life. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. One blessing that we often forget for our daily lives of obedience to Christ is that our baptism can be such a blessing to us. With that in mind, we sing hymn 737 in Christian Worship Supplement, God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It.
Thank you.
We pray. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Closing hymn is number 320, On My Heart Imprint Your Image. Good morning once again. It's a pleasure to worship with you, at least online, as we do this. Please continue to look forward for messages and when we can return back to worship here in the building together. Those will be shared with you via email and in the weekly news ahead. Big welcome to our visitors online. If you get a chance, check out our online connection card. You can find that on our website under our Connect tab. Our online connection card, let us connect with you. Let us tell you a little bit more about our ministry here at St. Mark's. Sunday school and Bible study will continue online. The Sunday school materials have been shared with you via email. You can also find them on our Staying Connected to God's Word page on our website. The Bible study online, you can find the study for that, the study guide there online as well. That'll begin here at 9:15 a.m. will be the live stream once again here in the sanctuary. The week of May 24th coming up next week, we're going to have a food drive here at St. Mark's. So we're going to put our love into action and do what we can for what's going on in our area, especially right now. We're going to gather a bunch of food. We're going to, if you can bring your food between about 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. On that week, it says 24th through 30th, but probably best would be Monday through Friday. Bring it here to the office. One of us will be here, and we'll bring it into the gym. And then we'll kind of have it all stacked up there. And on the 30th, at the end of the day, we'll go bring it to one of the food shelves, a lot of the local food shelves around the area. Thank you for your support in that. God has blessed St. Mark's with a teacher for next year. Yesterday was the Martin Luther College assignment service, call service. An MLC graduate, Hannah Stegman, has been assigned to our school to teach grades 3 through 5. So we look forward to have her here at our church coming up this summer. She's got a lot planned, obviously, coming up this summer with the move and everything, getting ready for school. So keep her in your prayers for now, and we'll let you know what are ways that we can support her when she gets here, too. So praise the Lord. God is good. Welcome to St. Mark's, Hannah. For all the other announcements, you can find those in the weekly news. May God continue to bless you this week with the life that he has given to you through Christ. Have a good week.